Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
I'm not in a mood for drama with Mike Jason.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Is on Rutledge and Hamilton.
I don't know if I will go as far as you will.
With Jim Rutledge and Matt Hamilton.
All right, boys. All right. Take care, be good.
Presented by Coors Light.
We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch. You can hear that 9 to noon here on ESPN Madison, ESPN Wisconsin. Jim Rutledge, Alex Strofe with you. We're live from the Everlight Solar Studio. We are presented by Coors Light, just like Wilde and Tausch, especially Tausch, are loving those mountain blue, or these blue mountains. Jason, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Of course, guys. Happy to do it. How are we doing?
We're doing fantastic.
Good.
I was sharing this little note with Strofe during the break that I just stumbled upon, and Jeff Perlman follows a lot of people, but I stumbled upon, because I looked him up the other day, writer, and has been writing books for a long time, and I looked him up, I forgot what he was doing, and I saw that he was following me. I'm like, well, that's weird, I gotta follow him back. No, he follows a ton of people. But so now every time I have someone that's semi-famous that follows me, it makes it weirder to me that Mark Tauscher, our teammate, does not follow me on social.
He doesn't follow you?
Nope. And I believe it's on purpose, because I brought it up to him. So is that weird, Jason, or is it just one of those things? Does Tauscher follow you on social?
Hold on 1 second. I'm unfollowing you.
All right. Well, now we can add you to the list. Perfect.
First of all, I am very much pro Mark Tauscher and very much against Jeff Perlman.
Okay.
I'm sure he's a swell guy. But here's what I don't understand, and this will probably be an impediment to my future of writing a book. So there was this incident. If you guys remember the Gunslinger book that he wrote?
Yep, yeah.
There's an anecdote in there in which he writes that the first time that Aaron Rodgers met Brett Favre, he called him Grandpa. That was inaccurate, and the guy who had told him the story was Craig Knoll.
Oh yeah,
it did happen like later on, and apparently in a joking manner in like training camp. And Jeff Perlman went on with Homer at the time and was asked about it, and Jeff Perlman said, "Yeah, well, it's a book. You know, the details or something to the effect of the details don't matter." He did say it. Well, it matters, and. You know, look, I am definitely not perfect as a journalist. I have gotten things wrong plenty of times. There was the time when I misspelled a high school tennis player from Madison West's name, the entire story, which I'm sure she was proud to put on her refrigerator at home. So, Phaedra Kasparov, I'm sorry again for that terrible story in the Capital Times. But, like, since when do facts not matter? And if you're as flippant as you were with the explanation of, well, I mean, it was mostly correct, but it changes, right? We can agree that if he said it the very first time he met the guy versus if he said it during training camp after they'd gotten to know each other, it's a totally different story, right? And then that leads me to wonder, and I remember there was a lot of backlash about the Sweetness book about Walter Payton that he wrote, and I found myself wondering if you're that flippant about your facts, then how do I know what to believe and what not to in the books that you write? Like, again, he can do his job however he wants, but that really rubbed me the wrong way, just because when I read a book, I want to believe that the information is accurate. Like, I'm reading The Good Neighbor right now, which is the biography of Mr. Rogers, and If there's stuff in there that's not accurate, it's going to piss me off. Because the whole idea is to learn about the actual person, not a myth, either positive or negative. And so I didn't mean to go off on a rant on Jeff Perlman.
Yeah, that was a tangent I was not expecting.
I was not either, but I'll give you that. And
I just think that stuff's important.
I think your journalism professors from the UW would be very proud of you right now, because I think everything you said is fair and accurate. But that leads me to this question then. When will you write a book solo? Like, I know you wrote a book with somebody else one time. When will you write your own book?
Huge mistake. Yeah, that was a huge mistake as well.
Why?
Well, first of all, apparently the the printing company used imagery that they were not allowed to use, and they were sued, and so they never promoted the book. I just thought the book sucked, and I thought that was why nobody bought it, but it turned out they didn't do any promotion. But look, I always thought that I never believed that Aaron Rodgers and I were going to write a book. You know, there's a segment of the population that always that thought I sucked up to him so I could write a book and whatever else. And even when he wasn't saying wildly crazy things, which apparently now
he went on another podcast. It's not even. It's beyond wild and crazy. Now it's almost sad. Like now it's more like, your brain's broken.
I agree. I'm disappointed. And I still care about the guy, but it's hard for me to see some of these stories that I see from him. But I always, we used to joke about it all the time. He would always say, oh, save that for the book. And I would say, save that for the one copy that I'm going to write, and then we're never going to publish it. I said, that's not going to put the girls through college. But I didn't, like, that was never a goal for me with him. I do think it would be interesting to tell a bunch of the stories from my time covering the team, whenever that time is up. But, you know, I know Ian O'Connor has, I don't know if you call it an unauthorized biography that's coming out about Rodgers. I'm like, I would love to have told his story at a certain point of his career, but I think that strikes me as a very difficult book to write now. So there's been some great stories that I've gotten to write. I don't know if I'll ever write a book, unless it's the underdog tale of Alex Stroll. Then I might be persuaded.
Oh, come on.
So now Jason's got me thinking, because I loved reading biographies as a kid, and there is a lot of myth-telling in those. And I just read my daughter. She was really into Elvis, and I read her book. And in the book, it references, like, some people say this, some people say that. We don't know. And, like, there is so much it's so much looseness there. But, yes, you're right. Perlman could have said, some people say this, some people say that, but it is interesting in all these books. No one said it, but like I think back all these books that I read as a kid that I just took as fact, and I get annoyed in movies a lot of times they're like based on a true story, and I think a lot of these biographies are based on a true story where like the story's true, and it's like the Dan Brown, like which is a fictional book, The Da Vinci Code. Like a lot of these
Da Vinci Code?
Yes, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
A lot of those things happen. They just didn't connect.
What about your guy like McCarthy? He's got an interesting story, wouldn't you think? And I know you guys are close. You could write an interesting story about him.
Yeah, I think that would be a great book. And I just think he's so at his core a really good human being that I would be happy to do that if he ever asked me to. Ron Wolf wrote two books without me and always gives me grief about that because I think that would be his life is fascinating
as well.
And I do recommend the books that he's done. But he did one with Michael Bauman, who was one of my journalism heroes, kind of like I am to you, Stroh.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that was really cool that they did that. They had a book signing at the same time that my shared book was out at Barnes & Noble, and Ron had a great line. There was like one copy of the book there. He said, I don't think that you sold enough that this would be only down to one. I'm guessing they only carry one, which was probably true.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Jason, the NFL draft is kind of circling. We've been doing, and we talked to you last time about prospecting the Packers, and I think you gave us Mims as the name to go through, and he was just mock draft by who?
Peter Schrager from the NFL Network.
Yeah, to the Packers. One we did today was Graham Barton, who I think is a prospect that would fit the Packers' mode of he maybe is in the left or right tackle, but he definitely can play all three positions in the NFL on the inside, and maybe he can be a backup left tackle or right tackle, but like right away he would add depth and versatility to the offensive line, and that seems like a guy the Packers really like. And I believe he has a high like athletic score as well, like one of the best for offensive linemen out there. So
Goody loves those.
Does scream like a guy the Packers would, if they stayed put, would want to take.
Let me ask you this though, Jason, based off that, because I don't know how much you know about Graham Barton, but I've convinced myself the Packers are going offensive line in the first round. Are you with me on that?
I think it's a distinct possibility, no doubt about that. And I think Barton, you know, to Jim's point, who also, from what I understand from his work with Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and the semi-glutide, that his RAS score has skyrocketed. I know he talked about his weight, his slimming down and his BMI and everything else. But my understanding is that your RAS, thanks to Dr. Nestor Rodriguez, has also gone through the roof. So, look, they could go a million ways, except I would say quarterback, wide receiver. I don't see them going either of those two positions in the first round. I doubt that they would go running back. The kid from Texas is really the only one that's viewed as a first-round pick, and he's obviously coming off of a major injury. So I don't think there's going to be any running backs in the first round. So if you take those three off the board, I would look on defense. They could take any of those positions, right? It wouldn't be sexy if it was a defensive lineman or a linebacker. You know, I don't think Cooper DeJean, whatever, however we're saying his name this week, is going to make it down to them. You know, the Mims one makes a lot of sense. He came in for a visit. Also, he kind of fits in. I'm actually sitting with the dogs here writing my offensive line story for later in the week in the State Journal. And I just think it's really interesting where they are offensive line-wise, because what's weird about it is they lost three guys this offseason. They cut a five-time All-Pro. They moved on from a guy who'd started, 50 games or so in John Runyon. And they moved on from their swing tackle who had started 20-plus games during his time in Yash Diamond. And so you lose Bakhtiari and those two guys, and yet they kind of have their starting five set, right, from left to right. If it's going to be Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, who was rotating in at right guard with Runyon, and then Zach Tom, who might be, if not their best offensive lineman, their second best behind Elton. So if you take Mims, who started, I think when we talked to, I don't know if it was Kuiper or Matt Bowen that mentioned this, but the dude started eight games in college. Like, is he ready to play? Because if you think if you're picking him like in an NBA style upside, and we think this guy's going to be a beast eventually, but he needs a year of kind of a red shirt at the NFL level, then that's perfect. Because you got your starting five. I suppose it's possible you might have to play him at some point, but that would fit kind of where they're at. To your point about Barton, though, like, he absolutely fits the Packers suit. And I saw Peter Schrager did not mock him to the Packers and kind of talked about why. And what I think is interesting is almost everyone they take on the offensive line, with a few exceptions, is a left tackle who they then turn into something else once he gets to the pros. And while Barton played, he had five starts his first year at center, all the rest of the time they played him at left tackle at Duke. And they don't project him as a left tackle in the pros, but the Packers do that all the time with guys. Like Sean Ryan
absolutely
was a left tackle at UCLA. So that to me makes a ton of sense, and the difference between him and Mims would be he can play right away because he's played a ton of college ball. We've seen a ton of offensive linemen come through here who started right away, including that knucklehead that I spend 9 to noon with every day. Like, there's a lot of guys that played right away, and if whoever they draft is one of their best five, he should play right away and not wait.
Jason, off this, I wanted to get your thoughts. Someone who covers the NFL, obviously, as a dad as well. Patrick Mahomes, Time 100, one of the most influential people. Patrick Mahomes was on the cover of one of the Time magazines, and he was interviewed there, and he said, if I can play until Tom's age, referencing Tom Brady, my daughter would be 19, 20 years old. I would love to play that long. At the same time, I want to be there for my daughter. If I feel like it's taking time away from my family, that's when I'll know it's time to go. And I'll just kind of give you the floor. What did you make of a very self-aware statement from Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's right up my alley. Yep. I loved it, obviously. And, you know, look, I don't want to comment on Tom Brady's personal life. You know, he's obviously has kids, has been married twice. He is as intense of a competitor as there is. I don't have that gene. Like, I want to win, and whether it's, you know, we chalked the lines in the driveway, and Sydney and I played one-on-one the other day, and I did beat her, by the way, and totally did, like, the belt after I did. It's not that I'm not competitive at all, but it's not the most important thing to me. And Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. But I would love for him, on the flip side of this coin, I would love for him to face the question of, was it worth it? with the personal cost of your life. And for me, like, I you know, Homer always says he would trade his life for Tauscher's. He would love to be Mark Tauscher and all these other. I gotta be honest, like, I don't have, my life is not perfect, but like, I wouldn't trade this with anybody. Like, my commute for the radio show is down the steps. Like, I go to Lambeau, and the girl's school is like 5 minutes away, and I can go to the girl's soccer games or volleyball games. Like, I'm really, really, really lucky that I get to do what I love. And don't get me wrong, I love what I do. I love the writing part. I certainly love the radio part, both hosting and coming. I love the fact that I get to talk to all of our different shows at least once a week. It's one of the coolest things about this job. I don't know how many other people get to do that. But I am incredibly blessed that I get to have my cake professionally and eat it too personally. And the sacrifices that these guys make to be as great as they are, you know, I'm you know, if there's a writer's wing of the hall, I'm in like the hall of pretty good. And I'm okay with that because I want to be in the hall of fame for dads and husbands. And that's a trade-off I'm willing to make. And the fact that Patrick Mahomes, who could do, we all agree, what Brady did, right? Like, mm-hmm. he is capable of that from a talent perspective. For him to make that comment, really, you know, I'm down on him still for getting after my guy Mike Carr for that offensive offsides penalty on Kadarius Toney, which was totally legit. But he won some points with me when I saw that today too. I would also add this though, I'm not saying that he's not being authentic in the moment of that interview, but let's check back in 5 years from now. Let's check back in 8 years from now, because you know there was a time when Aaron Rodgers, and we would talk about it on the radio show, which seems like a lifetime ago, from 2011 to 2014. Where he said, I'm not playing till I'm 40. I'm going to be out by the time I'm 35, 36 at the latest because I got so many other things I want to accomplish. And that time came and went. And then you heard him talking about, I want to play till I'm 40. Then you heard him talking about he wants to play into his 40s. Then you heard him talking about how HIV was foisted upon the country by the government. And so he changed his plans for his life, and I don't know what'll happen with Patrick Mahomes if he'll have that opportunity or not.
Can I make a book? That was so subtle.
I want a there's some book to be written. I don't know who you write it with, but it's like Dr. Rogers, Mr. Aaron, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like Aaron Rodgers has turned into like Dr. Jekyll, this crazy person. And he used to be Mr. Hyde, a normal person that Jason Wilde covered. I would love to like have the insight, like a 30 for 30 or a deep dive book into what happened.
There will
those
be,
that
there
knew
will
him
be a 30 for
and
30
like
on it.
Basically who had to cover him the last part of his career and earlier in the career and how different he is, because it is, it honestly, if you told me he was taken over by an alien and he, Aaron would probably believe this theory, that I would buy in. I'd be like, yes, an alien has taken over Aaron Rodgers' body.
Anyway.
Jason, thank you for taking up too much of your time.
No, I took up a good chunk of this with my Jeff Perlman rant. So let me just add this, even though you've messed up the clock.
Yeah.
I still care about the guy. I did make that joke there because I had seen that headline earlier today. But I am worried about him. I would tell him that to his face. I would also make that joke to his face, by the way. But I think you're right. And if you had the relationship that I had with him, there's part of you that is frustrated. And then there's part of you that is concerned and wonders what the hell happened. And so I appreciate having the opportunity to address that. And let me know, Alex, when you want to sit down for the first interview of the Strofe story, yeah. Underdog extraordinaire, or whatever we're going to headline it.
This mediocre life.
I'm working on your time, Jason. You let me know. It'd be my pleasure. Yeah, what are we doing? I mean, you want to talk about selling no copies of your last book? Imagine how poorly this one would do.
Just title it Mr. Irrelevant.
Can't
It'd be perfect.
Do any work.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Irrelevant won't help the title there, Jason. I'll tell you that. Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Thanks, Jason.
That's Jason Wilde. He's Mr. Irrelevant. I am Jim Rutledge. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light.
This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. Watch every show live and for free on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.